Last week, we looked at this. Is local church membership biblical? Is local church membership biblical? We said the answer is yes, even though there's some that may kind of disagree, and you know, this isn't a close-handed issue. If someone's like, hey, I kind of disagree with that, it doesn't mean we disfellowship with them or anything along those lines. It's not like the Trinity or anything, but I believe as a pastor, biblically, this is so vital and so important. There is a, the American church has decided to go some different directions over the history of time. It has gone in so much as to where kind of our nation was created on Christian values, and then we went through this time where there was like a division of the church with racism, and then it's like we just kind of have gone through these even flows and these pendulum swings of who we are as a church. And then before the 60s, and all the craziness that happened in the 60s with the Jesus movement and all that, church membership wasn't even a question. You were a part of a church, you were a member, because biblically that was a teaching. But then with things like, you know, the Jesus movement and kind of this issue with authority, a lot of churches I won't name any church names, but they just said, hey, you don't have to be a member to be here, just live your lives as a member. And that was definitely part of society. But the church is coming back to this idea of, you know, church membership. But here's the thing. Wherever we're at in our history as American church, we need to ask ourselves, is it biblical? Do the scriptures actually bring about a biblical precedence to be a part of the local church? And so here's my own personal issue. So can I vent for a second? You guys with me?
Yep.
All right, I'm just gonna vent for a minute. The reason why I think it's so important to teach on this and why it's so important that you know this, even if you're a guest, even if you're here and you're not a Christian, you kind of look in and go, hey, like, see what this whole church thing is about. It's for all of us, specifically for our area. I've been part of the local church in lots of different cities. I've been a member of different churches throughout my history as a Christian, and I have yet to see such a major issue with the idea of church transfer like I see here in Santa Barbara. Now, here's what I mean. I was going to put up a bumper sticker last week, and again, just some of you might know whose car it is, so I wasn't going to, but there's a bumper sticker cruising around town. It's got three different churches listed on there, and they're all good churches, but it's almost become a culture and a bragging right to say I'm a part of all these different churches. Now, here's the problem. Here's the issue with that. Is that accountability, the ability of depth and community, things like living out one another's in scripture, and then harder things like church discipline and whatnot are going to be hard to live out. So this is my vent, is because I think for us to experience revival in our city, we need to reform the idea of church. Amen? No, yeah, it's okay. All right. I'll convince you. You guys will get there with me. But like I've been taught, like this, it's just a known thing out there that when something great happens in another church, people flock to it and other churches die. And it's like, why? What happened to the faithfulness and the membership of that local church? And I would say that to go so far as to say that kind of church hopping is unbiblical. It's unhealthy for the overall church body in Goleta in Santa Barbara County. So, is church membership biblical? Yes. Here's what I mean. So, last week we started with this. Here's a little review for those of you that weren't here. Gospel, position, placement, and growth. So, the gospel has saved us. What's the gospel? That Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins and rose again on the third day. We put up Romans 5:1 last week that said that we have been justified by faith, and now we have peace with God. Now, what happens within justification? Our sins have been removed, and Jesus' righteousness has been credited to our account, and that changes our position with God. We are now in Christ. We have a new position. We are no longer hostile and an enemy against God. We have peace with God because we are in Christ. We have his, when God sees us, he sees us through the righteousness of Christ. And that has placed us somewhere. That has placed us within, according to what we looked at last week, the body of Christ. That it's not just positionally we now have a ticket to heaven, but we, as we're on this earth, have been placed into the body of Christ, and thus the church. And so then it begs the question, is the body in Christ and the body of Christ and church represented locally within different church bodies in a city? And we saw last week the answer is yes. But why? Gospel, position, placement. So we grow. That's the idea, that we grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's kind of where we went. But when we talk about placement, it's not just placed kind of invisibly within the body of Christ. We are also placed where we live. Like, God is that in control. Look at this in Acts up on the screen. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth. Listen. Having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, what the Apostle Paul is saying to this in his sermon to a bunch of unbelievers is that God is so powerful that he has allotted areas, not only times, but also where you live. And I'm going to go so far as to say where you live, where you work. So let's back up. The time you were born was predestined by God. Which is now, you guys are here, you guys have been born in this time, this era. The city that you're in has been predestined by God. The job that you have, the house that you live in, and the church that you belong to has been predestined by God. So you have a placement. Why? For your growth. Now, there was a few things that I want to kind of hit on just real quick. That we see the invisible universal church, which is we know for sure is in Scripture, becomes visible within the local church context. And we see it not explicitly like thou shalt become a church member, but implicitly it's implied in Scripture that we need to be a part and a member of a local body through these types of things. And the question that I posed last week is, how do you actually fulfill these things if you're not part of a local church, the place where you call home? And that is this, church discipline and excommunication. Not fun things, hard things, but scriptural things. Matthew 18, if you have a problem with a brother, I go to you. If you don't receive it, I bring some people from my community group or some other members of the family of God, and we bring them together. And if they still don't receive it, we bring it to the church. Well, what church? The local church. The idea of excommunication, that church discipline then leads to the idea that someone is removed and handed over to Satan. Again, not fun truths, but nevertheless biblical truths in unrepentant sin. In other words, let me just kind of lay this out. If I'm in unrepentant sin and it's kind of held in secret and one deacon knows about it, he comes to me, I don't receive it. I'm like, forget you, Paul, I'm not going to receive it, right? Like, that wouldn't go well. He would not receive that well. But no one? Nothing? Okay. Thank you for the courtesy laugh. So then, but see, then, and then other deacons come in and say, hey, you need to repent of this sin. I'm going to bring this to you. And then there's a time of graciousness for me to be able to repent. But if I'm like, no, I'm not going to repent, then church discipline comes into place and I lose my job, I lose my position. But I'm like, I'm still going to stay a member of this church, but I still don't repent. And after trying to come to me, trying to plead with me, opening up the scriptures and showing me, if I still don't repent, then I am excommunicated so that I will be outside of the church, so that I don't have the blessings and the covering of the local church. So I go out and I just decide I'm going to go out and just enjoy my sin, but I can't have my cake and eat it too. And the hope is that separation from the covering and fellowship and the body of Christ, that I will choose that over my sin, that they may be saved. That's the point of church discipline. It's outlined in 1 Corinthians 6. You can read it. And so, that being the case, so that's what, like, it's impossible to be able to do this stuff, and then you have shepherding and submission. God calls me to shepherd the flock. Which flock? Like who? like everybody? Is it just like, well, no, it's the local church. I'm called to be a pastor here at this church, and I'm called to shepherd you. Now, there's people outside of this community that I shepherd, but ultimately, my priority, because of my placement within this church, are the members here. And then, of course, submission. You were called as a member, as a Christian, to submit to your pastor and the leadership that is within the church. It's hard to submit to people you don't even know, like the invisible church over in Africa or over in China. Like, what does that even look like? It's submission to your local pastor. And then community and care. Community and care is also the last one, where we talked about how do you care for one another if you don't know each other? When one member suffers, all suffer. How is that even possible outside of relationship? Now, I get that there's kind of like an understanding of the universal body of Christ, that when people die overseas, like there's like a supernatural understanding that the church is being persecuted. But specifically in this context, it's because we're in relationship. We know we're hurting. And we celebrate for those that celebrate, and we mourn with those who mourn. Again, all in the context of the local church. And so we have gospel, position, placement, growth. Our placement in the local church then leads to our growth, to the glory of God and our joy. We grow and we learn to live visibly the invisible implications of the gospel. And that's my main point this morning. The invisible becomes visible. Everybody say that with me. The invisible becomes visible. All right. So here's what I mean. Look at James up on the screen. He has a lot to say about this. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Faith, kind of the invisible realm, works, his argument, the outworking of that faith. He goes, show me your faith apart from your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Mic drop. Like that is just, he just goes, bam. But then he goes on to say, for as the body apart from the spirit is dead, invisibly, the spirit, part of the body, the visible, so faith, invisible, from what its outworking works is dead. And so from the invisible attributes of the gospel, the invisible inch, okay, so when God declares us righteous, there's no outward seal. We symbolically do that through baptism. But it's a representation, it's an outward proclamation of an inward transformation. But our faith in Christ isn't supposed to stay invisible. The body of Christ has no room for the invisible man or the invisible woman. Because all the time, every time, the scriptures say, the things that have happened to you spiritually need to work themselves out visibly. Visibly. We see this also in John, 1 John. He does not mess around. Anyone who does not love does not know God. Now, we know from John 4:24, God is invisible. God is spirit. There's no other than through Christ, but God the Father, his material makeup is spirit. Anyone who does not love outwardly does not know God, because God is love. And then it goes on to say, a few verses later, if anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, speaking in the context of church, he is a liar. I'm just going to drop that right there. Now think about that. If you say you're a Christian, but you hate somebody within the church, you're a liar. You don't have a problem with me, you have a problem with Scripture. I'm just telling you what it says. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, for he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. The invisible, who God is, translates into a visible understanding of the outworking of our faith. And so my goal this morning is, one, church membership being biblical, and two, what does it mean to be a church member, where the invisible becomes visible, and the first one is in community. The invisible becomes visible in community. Now, we ended with these last week, but I want to kind of start this week with these. These are called the one another's of Scripture. So just let these drip over you. Esteem one another in love. Build up one another. Serve one another. Bear one another's burdens. Be gentle with one another. Be kind to one another so as to preserve unity. Speak truth to one another. Submit to one another. Show compassion to one another. Forgive one another. Encourage one another. Live in peace with one another. Confess sins to one another. Pray for one another's spiritual and physical healing. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. Serve one another. Act in humility toward one another. Refuse to become resentful toward one another. Give sacrificially to meet one another's needs. Fight fear together by growing in love and walk in truth together. These are all commands of Scripture to be lived out visibly within the church. It's glorious. It's an absolute glorious thing that when we see what God has called us to in this idea of Christian community, it's not invisible. It's in relationship with one another. And so I just want to challenge you, like if you're here and you're not in some sort of community, then jump in one of our community groups. Jump into Fred's Sunday School. Jump into something. So that you can begin to live out. Why? Because there is no room in the church for the invisible Christian. That you were able to receive all the benefits, the invisible attributes or the implications of the gospel and have a ticket to heaven and not live it out within Christian community. It's just impossible to do. Why? Because of the Bible. The Bible won't allow it. Like lone soldier Christianity, and I'm just going to go connect with God in the wilderness. Yes, you can do that. Absolutely. There is a call to be solid, to have solitude, to meditate on Scripture, to meditate on God's Word, and to pray, to have quiet time, to go into your closet and pray to the goddess in secret who will reward you openly and answer you openly. Yes, there is that. But it's a balance of then living that in community with one another. And so the challenge is how? Obviously, how are you going to live this out if you're not in relationship with other Christians? Sunday mornings at 9:45 here at this church. Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Fridays at 6:30 p.m. Information's in your bulletin on how to find directions. Why? Because we're the family of God. Just like we're a family. Now, we don't always have to like our family. Here's what I mean. Sometimes family can be difficult. But we don't get to choose our family. But we're still family. That means that we're connected to one another and we do life with one another and we learn to love one another. It's one of the great things about family is that it causes you to learn to love beyond your ability to be able to love others because you're challenged by someone's personality and their character. And you know, you ever have that one person that just no matter what they say or how they say it, it's so hard to, but I just, okay, I'm gonna love this person, I'm gonna pray for this person. Sorry. But we're the family of God. But let me ask you this. So the reality is we're a family. Invisibly, we're a family. But according to that, it works itself out visibly within community. Now, I'm a dad and I'm a husband. We've got 3 boys in our house. We have a daughter as well who's already moved out and living her life. And we're proud of her. But as a father, if I did everything for our kids, like everything, would you think that I was spoiling them? Yeah, pretty much, right? I mean, all they had to do was like, they barely had to get out of bed. We brought them breakfast in bed. They never had to make their bed, which they rarely do, by the way. But they never had to do any cleaning around the house. They're continually doing the dishes for us and for me and Trina. I mean, our boys are awesome. But if we instead just did everything for them, you would say, man, you're kind of spoiling your kids. They're entitled and they're spoiled. So let me ask you this. If I, as your pastor, do everything for you and all you do is show up, am I spoiling you? Uh-oh. That just happened. See, I think as much as my generation looks at a younger one and says entitled and spoiled, I think we need to take a look in the mirror and ask, when it comes to Sunday morning attendance within the family of God, am I a little entitled and spoiled? Do I just get to come and not do anything? I just get to sit and everything's handed to me. The message is handed to me. The word is handed to me. The elements are brought out. And yeah, I can just come up and take communion. Someone else is watching my kids. And like everything just happens and you show up even a little like late. That is an encouragement to show up on time. You show up a little late and everything's just done for you. And you can even leave a little early. It's not a big deal. And do absolutely nothing. The question is, if I continue to allow that as a member of our church, am I spoiling you? So the next thing is serving. The next thing is serving. So we are in where the invisible becomes visible. We as a church are in community, and then we serve. We serve one another, as it says in 1 Peter up on the screen. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. Now, let's back that up. If you look at the gospel removes our sin based on our justification, brings a righteousness that we don't deserve, and then God is able to dwell in us, which is crazy. The Holy Spirit dwells in you as a Christian. It's mind-boggling. It's supernaturally crazy. But it's true. God can't dwell in sin. Well, that's because inside our spirits are made clean by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so now the Holy Spirit dwells in us. And when the Holy Spirit comes, he gives us a gift. For what? Use it to serve one another. As good stewards of God's varied grace, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that what? That in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. And so what we see here is that through our service, God is glorified. Through our service to what? One another. One another. We're called to serve one another within the context of a worship gathering. Look at what it says in Galatians chapter 6 up on the screen. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone. That represents the city that we live in. Like wherever we're at, we are the Good Samaritan. We go out of our way and try and help people. We try to do good for everyone, right? And then it says, and especially to those who are the household of faith, the people that are part of the family of God. So we do good to, we serve the family of God. So we serve in the city, our country, our world, wherever we're at, and then we serve the church. We serve the city because the church is called to be a city within a city, to bless the city. And the invisible God becomes visible through our lives. We let our light shine, right? This little light of mine. That's what we do. Like we take the invisible understanding of what God has done through the gospel and let our light so shine. Matthew 5 up on the screen. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works, not that you do it to be seen. Jesus addresses that. But they may see your life, your good works, and give glory to the Father who is in heaven. And so we serve our city and let our light shine. Saints, I pray every single night, that God would shine his light through this city and push back darkness. But it always begs the question of how. Do you know how darkness is turned, pushed back? Light. Saints, let your light shine. So we serve the city. And then we serve the church, which according to Galatians 6 is our priority. Now this is similar to what we talked about yesterday. It's in the similar vein of our last week. In 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 7, it says, now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all to everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. This is in the context of church. He's saying this within the local context of the church in Corinth. Look at what else it goes on to say. So with yourself, in 1 Corinthians 14, so with yourselves, since you are eager for the manifestations of the Spirit, in other words, more giftings, strive to excel in what? Building up the church. So what do? We serve. We serve the church. And then it says, continues on in this vein in 1 Corinthians 14:26. What then, brothers? When you come together, the reason why I wanted this one in there, because it's definitely talk, when you come together as a church, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. We are called as members of the church to serve the church. And if you are not serving, please start today. Email Justin, get a hold of my wife, Trina. She's right here. We need a ton of help in the kids' ministry. We just need help. There's been weeks where she's served 3 weeks in a row and not been able to come to church. That's not okay. I'm not trying to guilt you. What I am trying to say is that as a member of the local body, you need to serve somewhere. It's a command of Scripture. It's how the invisible attributes of the gospel become visible. How are you serving to build up the church? And if you're not, again, it's okay. Receive the grace of God and the forgiveness of God and start today. Like, just start. Start serving the local church. Now, one of the ways as a subcategory of serving, another fun subject, you guys ready? Giving. All right, so we're serving the church. We're in community, living life out with one another because we're the family of God, and we're taking the gifts that God has given us for serving the church. And so we're serving the church, and some of you need to repent for your attitude towards serving the church and then come back to serving the church, and then as well as giving. 1 Corinthians 9:14, in the same way the Lord commanded those who proclaim the gospel should get their living by the gospel. So that is me, that our church pays me to be the pastor here. And that's okay according to Scripture. It's okay according to Scripture. We also see this in 1 Timothy 5:17 through 18. If you're taking notes, they'll be on our website. All these notes will be on our website. But then in 2 Corinthians gives a clear command about New Testament giving in the way that we serve. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart. Now here's the key. Each one must give. I'm not going to say 10%. I'm not going to say whatever. My personal opinion is that we should start at 10% because the New Testament serving and giving is our whole lives. The reason why 10% isn't mentioned in the Bible is because 10% is just a starting point. We should be giving way more, my opinion. But I know we live in a very expensive place. You have to start somewhere to live out Scripture. And another reason why I believe it's so important to be a part of the local body church is because where are you going to give? Where giving will actually make a difference. You give to the local church. Each one must give, and then you have liberty as you decide in your heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves what? A cheerful giver. And then it goes on to say, you will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. Did you hear what he just said? Saints, if you have been blessed financially and you're a part of a local church, you know what that means? That means the only reason why, or a main reason why you have been blessed, is so that you can be generous. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of the service is not only supplying needs of the saints, but also is overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. It leads to worship. So giving serves the church. our city and the world. Every dime you give goes to a significant amount goes to church planting throughout California and Seattle and Hawaii through Pacific Church Network, the network that we're a part of, as well as obviously it goes locally to places like Hope Refuge and Network Medical, which are places that we support, and then also to the world. We give to missions all over the world. And why do we do that? Because it leads to worship, which is the last thing that I have for you. So we are to live within community, doing life with one another. We are to serve one another, serve the church, and serve our city. And in the way that we serve, a part of that is our giving. And then we worship. See, the invisible God is worshiped visibly. And this is what it means to be a healthy church. That it's made of healthy members that are doing life together, serving the church in the city, and to all to the glory of God and our joy. If I could have the worship band come up. In Romans 15, it says this: May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, community, in accordance with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. But the reason why we serve, the reason why we are together in, like we do life together, is so that with one voice we can glorify God. That so that we can praise God. And then Colossians 3. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. In other words, the implications of the gospel, let them run deep. Teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, community. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart to God. Worship. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Serving. We are a healthy church. But we will only be as healthy as our members. And this calls for songs of loudest praise. Amen? Please stand. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, in the power of your Holy Spirit. And I pray that you would bring about, that you would stir in our hearts, Lord God. That you would stir in our hearts the giftings that you have given us. For some that you gifted so long ago and it's just kind of gone atrophy because it hasn't been utilized. And so, Lord, I pray that you would renew and revive the gifts that you've given this church. Pray that you would renew us in our commitment to be able to give to the local church, to serve the local church, and that you would renew our commitment to be in community with one another. Because it's so clear in Scripture that you, the invisible God, live through the visible lives of your saints to give you glory, and it's for our joy. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.